Hi, and welcome to the Creekwood Christian Church Sermon Podcast. This week, we hear from our ministerial resident, Rebecca Studdite, who delivers a sermon from the book of Ephesians on the importance of list making.
Scripture reading for reflection this morning comes from Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints. And for this reason, I do not cease to give thanks for you as I remember you in my prayers. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope of which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power? God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and all authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. And he has put all things under his feet and has made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Loving God, may the words from my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight and draw us more closely to you, both in mind and in spirit this day. Amen. Now I have a confession to make to you all this morning. I love lists. That's right, I love them. Like, really love them, obsessed with them, use them all the time. And that'll become very apparent pretty quickly. As a child, I would make lists all the time. Granted, a lot of those lists consisted of things like what I wanted as a Christmas present, the people that I wanted to invite to my birthday party, and of course, there were the grocery lists that I made for my mom with all of the things that I wanted her to get that she wouldn't actually use when she went to the grocery store. As I got older, though, I started making lists of things that I needed to do before I left for school in the morning, and a list of things that I needed to do before I went to bed. At one point, I even made a list of chores for myself and my brothers to complete each and every week, but I think it somehow got lost in translation because we never implemented it, and I think my brothers might have had something to do with it because I was really gung-ho about it. Now, even today, I am a lover of lists like you couldn't even believe. I love any character on TV that is prepared with checklists, step-by-step instructions, binders filled with information. For those of you who know her, Leslie Knope's organizational skills and preparedness is something that I strive to live up to. There is something just so satisfying about checking things off of a list, right? Thank you, Whitney, for not leaving me hanging. I really thought it was going to be just me. But as much as I love these lists, I'll admit that I was hoping that I would look at them a little bit less during the summer than I typically would during a school year. I love lists, but I'm also wise enough to recognize that I need a bit of a break from the structure that they bring. I'm an avid scheduler and planner, and there are endless lists of reminders of what comes next throughout various platforms in my organizational tool belt. A planner, my digital calendar, the notes app on my phone, and more. It's the way that I keep my life organized. I use air quotes here because I don't think that you can ever actually be truly organized, but I'm going to make a valiant effort to have it appear as though you can. And so, my physical and electronic lists continue to find their way into my everyday life. Even in this summertime season of rest, or what I'm told is a time of rest anyways, I find myself continuing to look at the endless pile of lists I was hoping to forego for 12 weeks, give or take. Granted, I had expected to keep my list of work to-dos. Those are necessary and good, and luckily for me, I love what I get to do here, so those lists are actually kind of fun for me. But I've noticed an unexpected influx of other to-do lists. These lists appeared upon the realization that certain events in my life were coming quickly. There are packing lists for upcoming things like mission trip and camp and other fun adventures for the summer. And then there are the other kinds of packing lists and planning lists for my upcoming move into a new place. And then there's this really fun website for wedding planning that reminds me each and every day of all of the things I need to be doing for my wedding. Now, hear me out. I know weddings take a lot of planning and coordination, and I'm willing to put in that work, but I get daily reminders of things to do for an event that's not happening for 10 more months. I'll be honest, once I no longer have to check things off of that list, I might jump for joy. And so I keep on keeping on, and I check those boxes off of the various lists that my life seems to require. At this point, you might be thinking to yourselves, wow, Rebecca really loves lists, or wow, Rebecca, you really love lists. Or you might be wondering, what on earth do these lists have to do with anything? In response to those first two thoughts, I know, if you're interested in the joy of list making, see me after this, we can talk about it. But in response to that third thought, that question of what in the world does this have to do with anything, I'm glad that you asked. As I reflected on the text for this week, as well as my ever-present list of love of list making, I found that I kept coming back to one simple thought. The lists are unending because the work is never done. Now, at first, this realization made my heart beat just a little bit faster as I continued to consider what it meant to that the work was never done. But in my mind, I went to a different place. I went to a community gathered in Ephesus, the one that Paul writes to in our scripture for today. Let's recap the information that we can glean from this scripture. The church at Ephesus is honestly doing pretty great at the whole faith thing. Paul is very pleased with their faith in God and their love of God's people. If you're familiar with Paul, you know that impressing him is not really a small task. For Paul to be pleased with the Ephesians, it means everyone, and I mean everyone, were in holy community as a church body, worshiping and praying together in a way that was good. It means that the community had turned away from sin and began to act in love. It means that the community was working towards unity in a way that was radical, in the same way that Jesus' love was radically inclusive and unifying. I mean, really, the Ephesians seem to have it all together. It seems that they have checked everything off of their Christ followers' to-do list. And yet, even in this letter where Paul is praising them, Paul says that he prays that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as they come to know him. A spirit of wisdom and revelation. Paul prayed that the people in Ephesus might be given this spirit of wisdom and revelation, knowing that they had checked off all of the things that they were supposed to do. Professor and theologian Lindsay Hogan says that learning to know Jesus does not happen all at once. She mentions that perhaps the folks in Ephesus had a good understanding on the life that Christ lived and his actions here on earth, but that with the resurrection and the ascension of Christ, they must come to know and come to terms with the risen Christ. Hogan implies that there was more to be done in this community of faith. And that's because there was. If you continue to read this letter of Ephesians, you will see that Paul not only praises the readers of this letter, but he gives reminders and new instructions to the readers. They had united together. They had learned to pray to God and show the love of Christ to others. For all intents and purposes, they had made it. And I imagine the people in Ephesus receiving this letter feeling a sense of joy as they read that Paul was pleased and that they had great faith. And then reading a long list of ways that they can improve, ways that they might strengthen their relationship with God, ways that they might have the ability to show God's love to the world in new ways, and thinking to themselves, I thought we were done here. There's still more to do? To the hypothetical people of Ephesus, I say, of course there's more to do. Christ's resurrection is the perfect example of there being more work to do. Our walk with God is beautiful and fulfilling and incredible. Over the past few weeks as a church, we have discussed prayer and growth in our spiritual lives. We have watched the youth of this church lead in incredible ways, and we've even seen a lot of them graduate high school and prepare for what comes next. We have been reminded time and time again of ways that our relationship with God is molded and shaped and renewed in this community. But our journey doesn't end there. It can't. Something that Paul understood about faith, Jesus, and the resurrection is that there is always more to do. Jesus no longer walked the earth as Paul is writing to this community. While it would be easy for a new group of believers like the Ephesians to conclude that Christ living among humans and dying on a cross was it, Paul assures them that Jesus' work was not yet done. Paul's prayer for a spirit of wisdom and revelation reminds them that there is still more to be learned, not only from Christ's life and Christ's death, but Christ's resurrection as well. Paul prays that the Ephesians' eyes might be opened or enlightened so that they may know where God is calling them. Paul prays a prayer of thanksgiving for the community in Ephesus, not only because he is grateful for how they have grown together and the things they have done, but he is grateful for what they can and will do in the future. The folks in Ephesus had only finished their first checklist. Their journey was just beginning. As I think we have all gathered, I'm a person who gets a tiny thrill by checking things off a to-do list. But even this self-identified list lover cannot imagine a world where it feels like I've done every single thing God has called me to do. Paul knew that God was not done with the church in Ephesus. I know that God is not done with me. And I feel like this faith community continues to learn and grow and know that God is not done with us either. That is the beauty of a resurrected Christ and the relationship that we are able to have with him, the relationship that we are able to have with God. There is always more to do, so let's get to work. Will you pray with me? God of wonder and growth, we pray that we might always find ourselves searching for what comes next in our relationship with you. We pray that we might always answer our call to do your work in this world. It's in your most holy and gracious name we pray. Amen.